Welcome to Life Church. How's everybody doing today? Come on. Good to see you. Look at your neighbor and say, you're looking good today. Come on. Some of y'all are looking a little better than others, but y'all looking good, all right? Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. How many of you know we got an awesome worship team? Shouldn't we thank the Lord for our worship team? I don't think unless you've been to other churches, you don't really realize what you got. So you ought to be thankful. Thank those guys. They prepare. They practice all the time. And they just really make sure that they do their best on Sunday. How many of you know that God likes it when we do our best? Amen. That's part of excellence, isn't it? Well, today we're going to talk about a life of excellence. We're on our fifth message of our series, A Life of Excellence, based on Mark 7:37. The word says the people marveled and they said everything that Jesus does is excellent. He does everything well. And the Greek word for well means excellent. And how many know that we ought to live a life of excellence? We ought to be an example of excellence in everything that we do, in how we carry ourselves and how we talk and how we do our job. Remember this, everything we do as a believer screams something to others about Jesus. Everything that we do as believers says something to others about Jesus. Now you may say one thing, but does your life back up what you say about your Savior? Excellence is when we live a life that coincides with what we say Jesus is. Because most people don't read the word, they read Jesus through you. So excellence, let's talk about that. What is excellence? Excellence is doing the best that you can with what you've been given. You understand that? That we have all been entrusted by God with certain talents, with certain abilities, with certain opportunities, that if we'll be faithful stewards, you see, you don't own anything. Everything that you've got has been given to you by God. A steward is someone who looks after the property of another. So I just want us to understand that if we're going to be excellent, then we need to understand that we are doing our best with God's best. And here's a principle. You've heard me say this many times. It's not what you have that matters. It's what you do with what you have. Jesus said, if you're faithful in the little, I'll make you ruler over much. So let me just say something to you today. You might be in a small place, but be great in your small place. Come on, somebody ought to amen that. Be great in your small place. Be excellent in your small place, because it won't be long if you're excellent in your small place, God will give you a bigger place. Because God, see, it's a matter of entrustment. That if God can entrust us with his stuff that he's given us, with the people that he's given us, then God will bless us with more. It's not what you have that matters. It's what you do with what you have. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, let me break it down for you a little bit. If you're not moving from where you are, it could be that you're not doing your best with where you are. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but you know what? It's the truth. You see, what happens is, write this down. Your stewardship will outgrow your position. Your stewardship will outgrow your place. Jesus said your gifts and callings make room. The word says your gifts and callings make room for you. That as you are faithful where you are, God will move you into another place. Amen? But if we're not proactive or active in what God's given us, if we're not excellent in the small, Jesus said you'll never be excellent in the big, in the large. So be excellent where you are. You see, blessings aren't an accident. The blessings of God is not just the God of purpose. He's the God of own purpose. That when we're faithful with what he's given us and we obey the word and we're doing excellent with what he's given us, guess what? The blessings of God flow from him to us to give us increase in every area. So as you grow older, things ought to be getting better. Amen. Let's look at Jesus, our example of excellence. There was no one more excellent than Jesus. Come on, can you amen me on that one? Amen me on something anyway. Jesus operated in the spirit of excellence. Let's look at Romans 8, 1 and 2. How many know that there is a law of the spirit of life? There is an established law of the spirit of life of Christ Jesus. The Lord dropped this on my heart yesterday during prayer, corporate prayer. By the way, we have a great time at corporate prayer. Saturdays at 9 to 10. What better way to spend your Saturday? Just want to encourage you to come. Also, let me just encourage you to get in a small group. We're a small group church. Amen? Get in relationship with the people in this church. And the third thing is this, that you need to come to Growth Track. If you never come to Growth Track, you'll never know what we're all about as a church. You'll just come to Sunday and say, man, it was nice today. Never know what we're all about, what our purpose is, what our vision is. Of course, that's our vision statement right there. But you got to get connected here to understand what we're all about. Amen? So come tonight to 401. You'll love it. Let's read Romans 8, 1 through 2. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives us life, in the King James it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The main thing about Jesus that made him excellent was that he operated out of the Spirit of life. Do you understand that every day is a daily battle for the spirit of life and the law of the spirit, the law of the spirit of death? Death and life are always battling for your interest and mainly your voice. The spirit of life, if you give, if you heed to the spirit of life, if you give yourself to the spirit of life, what's going to come out of you is life. If you give yourself to the spirit of death, the law of the spirit of death, guess what? Going to come out of you death. I call it your mouth-o-meter. Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that speak it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you're not just saying something. When you say something, you get something. So what's in you, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I call it your mouth-o-meter, right? Whatever's in you, you want to know what people are all about, just hang around them for a little while, and you'll find out what they're about because they're going to say it. They can't help it. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. So here's the deal. Well, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying you ought to check yourself. I'm saying you ought to check what you talk about. You ought to check who you talk about, and you ought to check how you talk about them. What you talk about, who you talk about, how you talk about them, be very careful. Because you see, we think we're smart, don't we? Because it's important. I mean, it's amazing to us that we as human beings think we have the right to judge others without taking care of ourselves. Well, that's what we're going to make the church right. We're just going to talk about it and make the church all right. Let me tell you something. You'll never change this church by complaining. You'll only change this church by getting involved, rolling your sleeves up and getting involved. You'll never change anything. What will happen is, let me ask you something. Two types of people in the world. They're problem identifiers and problem solvers. What category are you in? Problem identifier or a problem solver? It's one thing to know about the problem. It's a whole nother thing in how you relate to the problem. You see, problems are never the problem. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have problems. He said, troubles, right? So here's the deal. A problem for someone who's a believer is an opportunity. And here, I've learned this, that every time I'm presented with a problem in leading a church, it's just an opportunity for the next level if we deal with the problem right. Come on. Anytime you have a problem in your life, if you're a problem identifier, all you'll ever do is complain about the problem. But if you are a problem solver, you know what? I was thinking about this, that how many of y'all remember the first day you got married, those that are married in here? You made a bold statement, right? You said, this is for better, for worse, right? For richer, for poor, for death through a part. We said all that, but we never intended for worse. We never intended for being poor. We were optimistic when we got married, right? I'm going to tell you something. It's not always roses when you're married, is it? But you made a commitment. You, out of your mouth. Why do you think that you give a vow to marriage? Because God already knows that you're going to have some problems. But he wants to know that you're going to be true to what you said you were going to do. And so you get married, everything's great, the honeymoon, unbelievable. But then life kicks in. And kids come along. And bills start happening. Lord have mercy. And you say, what have I gotten myself into? Right? Because you don't know what you're getting into. All you know is that you made a vow. Here's the deal. Are you going to be true to your vow? Some of us in here are like, I know God sent me to this church, but when you get involved intimately in something, you start seeing things you wouldn't see from the outside, and then you start saying, I don't know. Wait a minute. It ain't I don't know. Either it is or it's not. It ain't I don't know, because God doesn't change his mind. If God sent you here, if God called you to marry a woman, guess what? God is an all-in God. No matter what happens, we stick in this thing, and we go do it. That's excellence. Excellence has nothing to do with how I feel. It has everything to do that I stood before God and I made a vow and I made a commitment and I'm a covenant man or woman and I'm not going to complain about it. We're just going to do it. I'm preaching now. So you've got to stay in the spirit of life. If you don't stay in the spirit of life, the devil's going to take you out. There'll always be questions. But don't focus on the questions. Focus on the vow. And I'm in this thing forever. Start being a purpose person and not a problem person. See, when you're a purpose person, you'll overcome the problem because you have a purpose. But if you're not a purpose person, you'll turn into a problem person, and all you'll ever do is go from problem to problem to problem and no progress. Live to be a purpose person. I'll be married 25 years to the same woman in June. I've just learned after 25 years, we're going to make it. Think we're going to stay married now. And I just learned that you're going to have problems, but my focus is not my problems. The focus is my Lord and my wife. And when I focus that way, guess what? Nothing that we come against can't be overcome. Nothing. The devil wants you to be a petty person and not a purpose person. Some of y'all here, Not here, somewhere else. When they leave church, they'll start talking about what was wrong with the service. I'm sweating. I know it's a little hot in here. Could be worse. You could be up here. But we start thinking, did you see Pastor had his skinny jeans on today? These aren't skinny jeans. I'm wearing them. They can't be skinny. Right? I mean, come on. If I'm wearing them, you can't label them skinny. Somebody worship God. Listen, you're always, the devil is going to tempt you to live out of the wrongs. The law of the spirit of death. God wants to encourage you to live out of the rights. The law of the spirit of life. Because there's always going to be something wrong everywhere you go. Just don't worry about it. Don't focus on the wrong. Some of us are inundated by problems because we haven't grasped our purpose. So, well, Pastor, how do you know? Can I just give you a little litmus test of where you are as far as being a purpose or problem person? Let me ask you the question. When you're with people, what do you talk about? Number two, the second thing is, who do you talk about? And number three, the question I would ask is, what's your motivation in talking about? Is it to help or is it to hurt? That's pettiness when we don't live in the tree of life, the law of the spirit of life. You know what? The law of the spirit of life has always been in the garden. Jesus said, if you eat of this tree, you'll live. The Lord said this. And there was the law, the tree of good and evil. That's the tree of death. We start talking. What is the tree of good and evil? Let me give you a better name of the tree of the tree of good and evil. It's the tree of I know better. It's the tree of I know best. It's the tree of what's wrong. It's the tree of the pastor ought to. You know what, I played football in college for 4 years. It's a whole different dynamic when you put your helmet on and get on the field. It's so easy to sit in my chair at home and go, they should have done this. But when you get out there and people are trying to take your head off, and I'm trying to take somebody else's head off, I tried to take people's head off. And I liked it. It's a dynamic that I can be fully equipped and never get on the field and never understand. Do you know you are equipped to play ball? You are equipped to get in the game. But God will never allow you to step foot on the field until you start speaking right. Come on, I'm sorry I give football analogies every Sunday. That's all I got. That or turkey hunting, I don't know. So let's stay in the spirit of life because the Bible says there are no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now you got to understand, when you are in Christ Jesus, you are in the law of the spirit of life. So don't move your position from him. Because when I move my position from him, I move into the law of death. And all that comes out of me, listen, what comes out of you is what's in you. Come on. I'm going to give you four things that help us to be more excellent in our life according to Jesus. You ready? Number one, Jesus was excellent in his focus. Focus is the key to being excellent. I am so much better as a pastor when I stay focused. Men, you ought to thank God for your wife because she's there to keep you focused. You know how Tanya keeps me focused? She asks questions. She says, well, what do you think you're doing right now? I'm like, shut up. Men don't like to hear all that, do they? I don't say shut up. I'm really sweet. The law of the spirit of life is in me. said whatever. But stay excellent in your focus. Jesus made this statement in John 5:19. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. Wow. I want you to just think about that statement. Jesus said, I'm not doing anything unless I see it from the Father. That's laser focused. Jesus told the devil this in the wilderness. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That word, you know what the word proceed means in the Greek? Flowing like a river. In other words, God, Jesus said, the word is proceeding. You can live by a rhema word of God every step you take. You just got to position yourself to hear. He said, I do nothing. Man, how, you talk about cut the fat off your life. I don't do anything unless I see it from the Father or I hear it from the Father. He was laser focused. You see, when you're laser focused, all you're focused on is purpose. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget those things that lie behind, and I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You got to have the mark, not a mark. He was excellent in his focus, and therefore he was excellent in his purpose. When we are problem identifiers, the problem in the problem is purpose. Because when you become purpose in the things of God, you become a problem solver. Because the problem is just an obstacle that you've got to overcome to get to your purpose. Excellent in your focus. He totally knew what his purpose was. This is not the right scripture. It's Luke 19:10. Jesus said, for the Son of Man, if you put that up there, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. He stayed true to the Father, and he stayed true to his purpose. The devil is vying for your purpose. Remember what I said? The devil doesn't need to defeat you. All he's got to do is distract you and render you ineffective. So Jesus was excellent in his purpose, excellent in his, because he was excellent in his focus. Don't allow distractions nor detractors to move you from your purpose. Jesus, he had his mind made up. He knew what he was doing. Well, how did he know? Because every day he got a word from the Father. That word proceeding, it was flowing like a river. You see, when God's not speaking to us, it's not because his words aren't proceeding. It's because we've moved out the place where we can hear. He was directed daily by God's voice. You remember in Mark 1:38, Jesus replied, let's go somewhere else near my villages so I can preach there also. This is why I've come. His disciples were saying, Lord, man, everything, the revival's going so good in this city. Let's just stay here. Jesus said, no, no, we got to go to somewhere else. There's going to be people that come into your life, if you're not hearing from the Father, if you're not excellent in your focus, that are going to detract you from your purpose. Stay focused. I can't tell you, when I said I'm going to come start a church in Mississippi, people looked at me and said, are you crazy? Don't do it. Do you understand that problem people are programmed to say no? That are programmed to say you can't? That are programmed to say it's impossible? Be excellent in your focus like Jesus. Number two, Jesus was excellent in his purpose. His purpose was to love God and love others. Jesus said in Matthew 20, he said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Stay in the mode of a servant. Stay in servant mode. Because the minute you become a problem identifier, you move yourself into Lord role. I had someone call me one time and say, Pastor, you know we got this going on? I said, I know everything that's going on. I wouldn't say it in a pride way. I said, there's nothing that goes on in this church that I'm not aware of. I know where we need to get better at. But I am not going to become a negative Nancy because of things that aren't working the way it should. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to get on my face and humble myself, and God's going to turn it all around. Be very careful that you don't become a church person over a follower of Jesus Christ. Because, by the way, this isn't your church. It isn't my church. It's his church. Uh-oh. That puts everything in a whole new perspective, though. Come on. Can I just tell you, I love this church. I love everything about it. I know where we're inadequate as a church, but we're a young church, and we're going to get better, and we're going to overcome, because my heart is to fulfill everything that God's called us to. Are you with me on that? John 18, Jesus said this. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest. This is when they were taking them, remember, in the garden. He said, we don't do things the way the world does. Now, there's some principles. You know, if the principles are successful in the world, it's a godly principle. Do you realize that? Everything's God here. So, but we don't operate as the world operates. We don't think like the world thinks. We don't talk like the world talks. We don't do things the way the world does it. We do it the God way. Jesus said, we're not doing things the world way. He said, my kingdom's not of this world, and I don't have to fight like the world fights to get what I need. My kingdom's from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus said, you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born, listen to this, and came to this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. Wasn't Jesus bold? You know, it was because he couldn't lie that got him crucified. He was excellent in his purpose. Number three, he walked in the spirit of life. He spoke life. Can I just hit on this real quick? James 3, 1 through 12 says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect and able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships for an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it's itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, listen to this, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Wow. You know what? We can do great in all kind of areas. But man, how many of you know we got to work on getting our tongue right? Our tongue is the greatest indicator of our heart. Better than that, our tongue is the greatest indicator of our purpose. Because petty talking shows that there's no purpose there. Our tongue is also the best indicator of our maturity. You know, I've learned this. How many of you know, in my life, you have friends that still act like they did 20 years ago? See what that means? Age is not a good indicator of maturity. I'm finding that out in life. That you can grow old without growing up. It's the same way with a believer. Just because you've been in Christ so long doesn't mean you've grown up in the Lord. Paul hit it like this in Corinthians. He said, at the time I should be giving you meat, I'm giving you milk because you're still immature in the Lord. There's something, can I just tell you something? There's some things that we need to grow up our own self to get what we need to do what God's called us to do and quit depending on other people to get from them what God intends to give to you. That's maturity. Your tongue is the greatest indicator of your maturity. What you talk about, how you talk, and who you talk about. Jesus walked in the spirit of life. He never said anything that didn't give life unless he was dealing with a religious person. And number four, Jesus was excellent in overcoming obstacles. Can I just help you? You know, my biggest obstacle that I find in my life, my enemy's the devil, right? But he plays on me, and I become my biggest obstacle. Do you know who your biggest obstacle is in your life? You. Our biggest problem is self, and the best way to overcome self is to deny him or her. Jesus said in Luke 22, 42, Jesus struggled with himself in the garden. Jesus was fully man, by the way. Jesus said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Our greatest struggle and greatest obstacle is normally a great indicator of a great victory. Our greatest struggle and greatest obstacle is right between you and your next victory, which will inevitably be your greatest victory. The thing that you're, see, I've learned in my life just to start embracing problems because I know if I can overcome this problem, God gives me grace and wisdom and anointing to do that, I'm going to become something else. Instead of griping about the problem, instead of wanting to throw my hands up and say, well, I quit. You see, you'll never get to where you want to be until you address that Goliath you've been running from. Hello, destiny. The Lord told me that. He said, when you see Goliath, you know what you say? I said, no, Lord, what do you say? He said, hello, destiny. You see, David, that day, was transformed from a shepherd boy to a king. The one thing that is intimidating you, that's causing you fear, that you hate to come against, that thing, you know what that thing is. That Goliath, it may not be named Goliath, but the thing that's there and you know it's there that you haven't faced yet is the very thing that God intends you to overcome to thrust you into destiny. Jesus was excellent in overcoming obstacles. It cost him his life, but out of that death came the victory of all mankind because Jesus was obedient to the cross. The very thing that represented brutality and hate and hurt became the very thing of beauty that we see today. Jesus has a way of turning it all around. So don't worry about the obstacle. Just pick up a little rock and chuck it. God's got something for us. But I can tell you this, if all we ever do is complain and murmur and become critical, we will never be a great church. We'll just stay where we are. It's time for us to begin to go to the next level. It's time for us to begin to do what God's called us to do. I'm tired of petty living. I'm tired of petty giving. I'm tired of pettiness. I'm ready for purpose. How many of y'all are ready? Let's stand to our feet today. You know, the anointing's falling when I start wiping sweat, baby. Come on, Jesus. Come on, let's lift our hands right now before the Lord. He's holy. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you are a destiny God. Lord God, you are a purpose God, not a problem God. Lord, I know there is some things that we have to address. I understand that. But Lord, I know there's no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And Lord, we thank you for that. There's no Goliath sent by hell that can stop us from doing what we call. I refuse, Lord God, to settle. Come on, say it right now. Say, I refuse to settle. I refuse to settle. I will not let what others say dictate who I am. I will believe what God says about me. I will act like God says I'm to act. That I'm a son of God. That I'm a daughter of God. And there's nothing that I will not accomplish in this life. In this life. Today. Come on, say it. Say today. I make a decision. That I'm stepping on my problem. And I'm becoming a purpose man. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. I just want to say, take that, devil. I'm telling you, the other night, I had a dream. I was fighting devils all night long. I mean, I was in a fight. Some of y'all say, what is he talking about? You'll find out one day. New level, new devil. We're coming into something. We're taking ground. This area has certain assignments from the enemy, principalities and powers. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're fighting a battle. Every transition, that irritation that you begin to feel in your life is just a transition to war. That you're going to come into something. The devil wants to hold you back, but he can't stop it. The gates of hell. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's the church. This church is God's church. We are going to overcome. We are going to win. And one day, I'm going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to pray for you. We're going to have a team up here. We're going to dismiss in a little bit. But let's close and pray. I want to ask, is there anyone here? You know, Jesus came to this earth. His purpose was you. He walked this earth, did everything that he did to be faithful to the Father so that he could go to a cross and be obedient and die and shed his blood for you. To give you hope and to give you a future. How many would say, Pastor, come on boldly, that I need to make a decision today to make Jesus Lord of my life? Is anybody here today? Anybody? Come on, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Anybody? Come on, raise your hand and show me. Second part of this message is that I want to see a church full of purpose people. You may have been doing some things, saying things, meeting with people, doing some things. I don't know what's going on, but I'll tell you this. You just know the Holy Spirit's convicted. It's time for you to respond to that. Say, Pastor, I just need to make a decision to be a purpose person today. Anybody? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. 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 Anybody? Come on. Let's go. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that we are a church on the move. Lord, you said that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. On the rock that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, we have defined who you are, and therefore you're going to define who we are. Lord, I thank you that we are a purpose church, not a problem church. And we are going to press toward the mark for us today. Lord, I release destiny into your people. I proclaim that this church is full of purpose people, full of the anointing of God, that when we line up with your purpose, then the word begins to proceed out of your mouth. And Father, we're going to live by that word, not by any other word, but that word. And Lord, we declare that as we leave here, we're going to make a mark on our city, on our state, on our nation, and on our world, because that's what we were called to do. And we thank you for it. Lord, I declare, I prophesy today over this church that we are being put in position of influence. Men and women in this church are being placed in places of influence to change the course of our city, to change the course of our world, and to change the course of history. In Jesus' name, Lord, I loose it. Amen. God bless you today.
You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave.